WildTalkRadio.com.
This show contains adult content and is brought to you by the letter H.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
This is Eric Bischoff.
I'm Austin Aries.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn off the lights.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
All right, I'll stay with you tonight. Just on the chance that you're right.
The Omega.
He's gonna get you.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael!
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Every Ken Padfield thinks his place is haunted.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Let's make more popcorn.
WTR Sunday Night.
Since when did it let them wander around?
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is WWE Evolution, the first ever all-women's pay-per-view under the WWE banner. We've got our review tonight. We have our opinions. We have all the usual stuff that a pay-per-view night will bring. And yes, this has been a historic and heartbreaking week in professional wrestling. Trust me, we're going to get to all of it, but we're going to start with the fun stuff that's fresh in our minds first. So, for now, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
I didn't like this pay-per-view at all. I'm going to tweet about it.
Go on the internet and complain.
Wait, you're actually going to tweet something?
Fuck off.
At the WTR Oreo.
Anyway, what's up, guys? It's Heartbreak Mike. Wow. We need to talk about this pay-per-view, because this... Wow.
Well, I got good news for you. That's why we've got a show.
Yes.
And talk it we shall, and the one who will have to lead that talking is the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah, sure. Leave it to me, why don't you? It's all on me. All the time.
Your name's first in the intro, so...
Oh, well, okay, among other things, yeah. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to an Evolution Edition, WTR Sunday Night.
Why is the cut? Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Well, were you watching TV and wondering what the hell?
I'm wondering what the hell I'm watching.
It's something to do with Woken Matt Hardy.
And why the Godfather is there.
Because he's riding the... trade.
And apparently Senior Benjamin's about to. Anyway.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway. So, yeah, it's historic. It happened. It was a thing. And it couldn't have started any better. But before we get into it, I'm just going to say happy birthday to both Tommy and Blaine. Regular listeners, they're actually listening with their mom to the live webcast like they do every single Sunday night. So, happy birthday, guys. Omega, Mike, Rock, say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
There you go. So there's your shout out. Right. Yeah. And, oh.
We need
all
to,
what?
We need to talk about the biggest story of the night.
The biggest story of the night?
The Street.
A woman coming out and opening up an all-female pay-per-view?
No.
A guitar riff?
No. The Street Profits won the Evolve Tag Team titles. I mean, aren't we going to spend 2 hours talking about that?
No.
Oh.
Who won the what?
The first ever all-women's WWE.
Ah, right, the thing that everyone cares about. Right, let's go.
Yeah, no, it's Evolution, not Evolve. There's a difference.
Ah, got it.
Okay, there you go.
Got it.
What the hell can you say about this? Was a fantastic pay-per-view. It was very entertaining. And to tell you the truth, not a single match on this card sucked. Really, it didn't.
This was the prime example of what the future of WWE is probably going to be.
And I am so happy.
As it was the most hybrid of shows.
It was the most what?
Hybrid of shows.
When you the most what?
Listen, the hybrid of shows.
The hybrid of shows.
Yes. We all know how the WWE style matches go. We saw a couple of them, but we also saw really good NXT style show matches on the show as well.
Very, very NXT-ish feeling tonight.
Right.
So So
that's why, to me, it was a very hybrid-esque show. In what the future could hold with Hunter in charge.
Imagine it.
That's just what I'm
saying. I want to go back 10 years and tell past me, look, one day you're going to look forward to Triple H being in charge of all this.
Y'all just needed to get a war of the movement and we would have been fine.
Suck my movement, Rock.
Okay, that just, like, I don't need that visual.
Can we put a movement command in chat right now? Everyone use the movement command. Anyway.
I just gotta know one thing because you went there, Omega. Did you have oatmeal, for breakfast? Yeah, see?
It's supposed to remain vague.
I'm sorry, but it's supposed to remain vague.
If it's dirty, it happens in your own mind. It's not my fault.
It's you didn't leave it vague enough. That was just gross, dude.
But from top to bottom, there was nothing really to complain about. Yes,
I mean, I do have a complaint. We'll get there.
Yes, you can complain about
I've got one complaint and one just like, but
you can complain about a move here or a spot there.
No. It's got nothing to do with that.
I'm talking in general, not you.
I know.
I'm talking to them, not you. In general, you can complain about a spot, complain about a move, but in general, this whole show was really, really entertaining.
No, we seriously had fewer botches, miss moves, late moves in this pay-per-view than we get on most of the regular ones. And they weren't really glaring, the couple that we did see tonight. They didn't stick out like a sore thumb.
There are some wrestlers, not going to mention any names, Alicia Fox, who probably need to learn how to do timing.
Alicia Fox. Oh, excuse me, I had a sneeze.
So let's start there. What's the first match, Tim?
It's Trish and Lita teaming up, coming back after all those years versus Mickey and Alicia. Wait a minute. Wasn't it supposed to be Mickey and Alexis? Yes, it was. Alexis got a concussion. She wasn't
Alexa.
Here.
Alexa.
Yeah, that's what I said, Alexis.
Not Alexis LeRae.
I know. Alexa. Okay, just like let's just like let everybody know that I'm doing it on purpose here. Yeah, no, Alexa wasn't cleared. She's got a concussion, and she didn't get over her brain sprain soon enough. So Alicia subbed in late to the party. She was also late to a move.
The key move. She was late to the key spot in the match. That's the biggest complaint for that match.
And the only way that you knew that it was like not actually booked that way. Rocky pointed it out. Michael Cole pointed, that was weird. Or that was odd.
That was odd.
Great way to cover, Cole.
In great way.
He had Stratisfaction. 1, 2.
Two and three quarters. Will you get in here?
Alicia finally gets in to make this.
God damn it, Alicia. She makes us look bad.
Mike, are you like, did you switch genders or something?
No, she makes the black people look bad.
Oh, bugger off.
Go ahead. You can the WTR Oreo.
There you go. I don't care that you have more pigments in your skin than I have in mine. What does that mean?
You're right.
Nothing, motherfucker. See, I said pucker, not fucker, because I don't swear. God damn it.
Let me see. Like, she's a beautiful girl. Like, I don't have anything wrong with how she looks. It's making wrestlers look bad.
Okay, yeah.
All in Nelson, ain't nobody shopping.
I'm gonna be honest, Alicia Fox has a tendency to make me drool. I find her hot. Anyway.
Okay, I mean, that we did too, not, but. See, you're going back to the stereotypes of talking about women's wrestling. Let's not go there. Let's talk about
Well, it's too late and it's gonna happen.
Yeah, we're gonna get to Kelly Kelly in a bit.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
So, with this match, you're welcome. Really nice back and forth pace. Everyone knew Trish and Mickey, that was gonna be good. We saw a wonderfully recovered Luthez press.
You still got it.
Yeah, Trish still got it. Lita got
still
it.
Got it. Ooh, she got still, it. She never lost it.
Yeah. And it was a wonderfully fast-paced motion, beautiful European uppercuts. Ooh. The chops were really good, I have to say. That
I was going to say it had to have been Omega's favorite match of the night.
He was more happy that Mickey and Trish kept it PG this time around.
Yeah.
Completely PG.
Well, in this day and age, yeah. I mean, okay.
As far as spots, like, they do have a legendary one, but not one I would expect to see broken out now.
Yeah, that would be kind of difficult to sell that at this pay-per-view. Of course, the thing about it, the irony is, in today's day and age, it's supposed to be more acceptable than ever. Just alluding to the spot Omega was referring to. Or referring to the spot Omega was alluding to?
I think.
I'm not sure.
It
was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love seeing Trish back in the ring. You know, she's always going to be my favorite of the Divas era, even if Divas become a bad word. And yes, it was nice seeing Lita back too.
Nice job. Good going.
She hit her moonsault. They hit the chick hit. They got the win. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it was, oh, thank God Lita didn't botch that moonsault. And so it was really great. And I was happy because everybody was safe. I was more concerned about Lita and that moonsault.
I was concerned. I do concern with Lita, you know, performing just because she left due to injury in the first place. She's had neck issues.
Yeah, so that was my big thing because she was like, oh, wait, moonsault. And then when they did the Hardys double team spot, I was like, okay, now Trish, you ain't thick like you used to be. So, you know, Lita, yeah. Anyway.
I love there's a moment there I absolutely love, which is Michael Cole on the mic during that spot, going, you know, paying tribute to the Hardy Boys where Lita's career started, and I thought,
nah,
what a way to piss on S.A. Rios.
Like, Michael Cole, hey.
Didn't they scrub S.A. Rios, though, from WWE?
Did they? I don't know.
After that horrendous thing he did, his name shall not be mentioned.
Well,
so people are like, what horrendous thing?
So Trish and Lita get the win, the right finish for this crowd, right finish to start off the show.
Surprising, but not surprising, the finish to me. If Alexa hadn't been injured, I don't think that Trish and Lita would have picked up the V.
No.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
Right.
Because let's face it, Mickey doesn't need the one for anything. She's there for enhancement and to help get the younger kids over. And Alicia's been around long enough that it's not going to do anything for her one way or the other.
Yeah. And she's done a tremendous job doing it.
I feel like if Alexa hadn't been injured, this might not have been the first match on the card.
Yeah.
Then again, since they were on Twitter, it probably was going to still be. Because you're showcasing history and whatever. I don't know any other match other than the Battle Royal that you could have opened with.
Maybe the sixth girl.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Anyway, what's next, Tim? Oh, before you move on. Omega. The very start of the show. Weren't you so happy Michael Cole's mic didn't work?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You could hear it over there.
Saying, hey, your mic's not working.
Oh, thank God. Like, the one thing I didn't want to hear during this pay-per-view.
And the one thing I would have enjoyed but had to miss because I was on my way home from work.
All right, next match.
Michael Cole's mic not working.
He's trying to do the big old open and doesn't work.
Hey, your mic's off. It's the Battle Royal. We had 20 participants.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have the list, Tim?
Yeah.
I do, actually. I'm going to just run them down 1 through 20. Coming in at number 1 is Naomi. Michelle McCool makes a return at number 2. Sonya Deville enters at number 3. Number 4, I couldn't believe it. Wow, Alundra Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Carmella. Number 6, Zelina Vega. Here she is at number 7.
Holla.
Kelly.
Holla. No,
holla, holla. Number 8, Tamina. Ember Moon entered at number 9. Lana came in at 10. Maria Kanellis. 5 months post giving birth at number 11. Mandy Rose at number 12. Molly Holly, lucky number 13. I asked Rock a question when she came out, and I don't think I'll repeat it right now, but we'll get there.
Just ask Spike Dudley.
And to find the answer, I'll have to ask Spike.
Yep.
Number 14, Dana Brooke. Nia Jax enters at number 15. Number 16. 56-year-old Ivory. Asuka at 17. Tori Wilson returns in number 18. And taking up 19 and 20th, the Iconics. Hey, name the girls in the Iconics.
The two dead ones.
Bill Kay and Peyton Royce.
I was going to say, Tim, did you know what their names were?
I surprised you, didn't I? Kind of shocked you.
Mikey, you're going to make a point.
Now, there were
What's your
no-
point?
I said Omega is going to make a point. Omega.
I'm not sure what point you're referring to.
I don't know. You were about to say something before we were listing off names. Anyway, Mike, what'd you have to say?
Beautifully done. Good segments. For a beautiful two-person elimination. A good setup of old school versus new school. I really enjoyed that. For someone who was 5 months after giving birth, she sure didn't act like it in the ring.
The only thing that I had to say about Maria Kanellis was maybe it was too soon after childbirth to have worn the outfit she wore.
Yeah.
And that is not being sexist or anything like that. It's just... It wasn't flattering. I mean, there are guys that come out that don't look very flattering either. But the thing that I got a kick out of it, the two entrants out of all 20 with the microphones to talk and really raise the bar for themselves, are the first two eliminated, the Iconics.
And it was beautiful that they had their segment, their nice little mini promo. Loved it.
See? When they announced the Battle Royal, I was originally kind of offended because you put names like Ember Moon and Asuka and Naomi in this match where, God, it feels like the kind of thing they used to do when WrestleMania would come around, like, oh shit, we only have one storyline for the women.
Piss breaks. Well,
yeah, that's better. Let's just cram every woman into one match, just get them on the card just so they have a payday, just so we say we put them on WrestleMania. I was really upset that so many really talented women got lumped into a battle royal. That said, we'll admit, good way to use a lot of the legends who maybe aren't in ring shape anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, good way for that, good way to put on women like... you know, like Lana or Maria or the Iconics, where the moveset's a little bit limited.
Yeah.
So it keeps their involvement low. Okay. And honestly, really, really good battle royal.
It was a good battle royal. I like that after the entire year of Mandy Rose being the first one eliminated in things, like the Royal Rumble and in the Elimination Chamber, she got some time to shine in this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that the crowd was following enough to be, like, really shocked when she knocked Sonya off the ring.
Yeah, they were working well together. We had the Tamina and Nia showdown a couple times.
That I enjoyed like crazy.
I was like, great. Finally.
They knocked all the other girls on the collective asses and just tear each other down.
I love that. It's like, are we going to fight? Yeah, we're going to fight. But
and then
first,
Lana interrupts.
Just beat the shit out of everyone.
Everybody.
So they can just have the ring to themselves.
Ooh,
God, it must be fun to be cousins.
All right. And then big ups to Ivory for being a ring general.
Oh, Ivory looked good tonight.
Looked
she really did.
Really, I mean, good.
56 years old. Of course, she's not as old as Alundra.
Yeah.
She's older.
We'll just say that Alundra's a little older. But
Alundra's
like,
54. Ivory's 56.
Alundra looked older.
Okay, Alundra looked older.
Alundra looks older. She also looked like she's taking wardrobe advice from Curry Man.
Yes.
Wow.
And you can tell that her ability to move is somewhat limited, so she kept herself to a limited move set, and everybody that knocked around with her helped.
Yeah, because she just had knee surgery a couple few months ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, you had Ivory and Carmella together.
Nicely.
That
done.
Was good. I didn't expect to enjoy Carmella in this match.
Carmella was good. I loved it.
Because they give you the old-fashioned dance break.
Let's go. We them rebels everybody want to talk about. We stay up all night and cause a riot, scream and shout. Get on the floor, if you're really about it. Don't take it.
Oh, please get rid of that shit. Just reminds me way too much of my time as a nightclub disc jockey. I hated that fucking music.
So, Final Five were Ivory, Tamina, Naya, Ember, and Asuka.
Yeah, Ivory lasting to the top five.
I love that the crowd pops every time Ember and Asuka have a stare down.
Oh. Got a huge, huge NXT chant for them.
Because they knew it's about to go down.
And I love... Like, I love every time those two are face-to-face in the ring, Ember just looks like the devil has entered her eyes.
So, it come down to, after Ember got rid of Asuka, Naya and Ember is the final two, but oh wait, a wild Zelina Vega appears and attempts to throw Naya out.
Now, here's the thing, Zelina Vega popping back into the ring, this is a very, very old, tried and true maneuver. You duck out of the ring and hide until the last couple of spots left. Then you come back in. You would think that people would, like, bitch and complain about that after it being used so much. But at the same time, how often do you have a battle royal? Right?
Yeah.
Once every 6 months.
That said, Kurt Angle just did this against Baron Corbin.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it still causes a pop. It does. It really does.
Yeah, because it's a smart spot. It's the smart heel spot to use.
And especially when she's the smallest woman in the ring, trying to get the biggest out of the ring.
Bad chemistry. Bad psychology.
But Zelina was like, oh, I got her over.
Yeah, you know what? My advice to everybody in a battle royal, just make sure you've eliminated your opponent before you turn your back on them to celebrate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then Zelina gets body press slammed out of the ring onto Tamina, and ooh, that was a spot. Hope they're okay. And then Ember gets thrown out by Nia. Nia Jax, now a number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship at some point down the line whenever they decide to give Nia a title shot.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a throwaway just for the sake of burning time on the card, but I was happy with how they played it off. I was happy that a lot of the women got time to themselves to do their thing. And yeah, I was pulling for Ember because I want to see Ember and Ember and Ronda. Oh my God, do I want to see that?
Yep.
You'll get it eventually. Just not yet.
Not yet. In due time.
It'll happen at some point, yes. But, I had an inkling that they were going to do something like that. And I don't want to sound negative, but I'm not exactly excited at this point in time for a Nia Jax Ronda Rousey rematch.
No, but it's the match we're going to get.
Yep.
But that said, I think that Ronda has come so far in such a short amount of time that she'll wind up actually doing a much better job the second time out.
What's next?
Another bunch of matches.
Great, Tim. So, up next is...
The Mae Young Classic Final.
Dear God.
Yeah, Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. Holy Christ. You know, give both of these women a trophies.
Jeez.
Ignorance. Strong style. Reversals, moonsaults.
And Jesus Christ, that had to hurt.
Yeah.
Which one?
The one that comes to mind is the belly to back on the apron.
Jesus. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been painful. There are a couple of really, really stiff moves in this match. Props to both the girls.
I love the pacing in this match.
Yeah, me too.
I love it starts slow and methodical. They're feeling each other out. They're looking for advantages and opportunities, and they slowly just start ramping it up into those really impactful spots.
Go ahead. That's something I wanted to bring up this entire pay-per-view. Every match was fast paced, and it didn't seem to be as long as it actually was.
This was 10.5 minutes long. My only complaint,
it could have gone 15.
Could have gone 15, and my other complaint is I could see this again and again and again, so please make it happen.
Please.
Please.
I want to see a rematch. I goddamn want to see rematches.
You have to. I mean, and granted, Io, she's got nothing to lose here, because she's pretty much done it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's still a win-win. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she looked phenomenal tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like, the moonsault to the outside.
That was great.
Like, beautifully executed, very fast.
It's not even,
absolutely.
It's not even the moonsault, it was the speed to get up there to do it.
It was the speed it was executed, because, like, I guess I'm still used to, like, high spots in women's wrestling being very, very cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Very, like, double check where I, you know, where I'm about to land and kind of slow to set up. This was lightning quick.
Very lightning quick.
This felt like an RVD spot. Just like, boop, I'm boom, done, boom. Boop, I'm out.
You compare that moonsault to Charlotte's moonsault, then you see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Toni Storm got the win as the winner of the Mae Young Classic.
And, I think rightly so. I mean, I was gonna go a long way. But I think it was Tony's time.
I mean, Io is gone a long way. I mean, like me and Omega said, she's got nothing to lose. So this, just her being WWE, just another notch in her belt.
Next, Tim.
You always do that to me.
Figure you have a
card. Which is fine.
You're supposed to lead the show, Tim. If you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Up next. No, I was just giving you her time. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, up next, we got the Riot Squad coming out to take on Natalya, her partner Sasha Banks, and their partner Bayley.
The biggest complaint. Here it comes. Dives.
Yeah.
Sasha, what?
She hasn't got it down packed yet.
I don't know what she was trying for. I think she was trying to spring off over the rope and do a forward roll off the rope. I don't know. Not sure what that was.
Oh, Botchmania's going to have so much fun.
Not sure exactly what that was.
But the quick, well, it wasn't even a quick recovery, but the recovery into the torpedo into the barricade. Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like, it feels like they were supposed to catch her to do that spot.
And she was hesitant of trying to, you know, flip. And things weren't timed correctly. That's the best way to put it.
The good about this match, Riot Squad taking turns isolating each and every single member of their opponents, basically making it 3-on-1 three separate times there for a short amount of time.
They're a really good team. Mm-hmm. They're a really good team.
I really like how they emphasized just their level of teamwork, how fast the tags were and how in sync they were. That's what should set them apart. So that was sold really well.
Yep.
Now, I got worried when we saw a quick miscommunication with Bayley landing on Sasha to break up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That started getting me worried. Oh god, don't start teasing this shit again. You pulled this out long enough the last time.
No, but they didn't go after it. It happened, but they didn't.
Yeah. I actually like the spot later on where Bayley doesn't have enough. She doesn't have enough to stop Sasha from taking the hit, so she'll take the hit for her.
Mm-hmm. And she covers Sasha up.
Like that reminds me of some of like the old scary enough. It reminds me of some of the old vaudevillain spots that used to get chivalry chants.
Yeah.
This started as your basic 6-person tag, but turned into a really good match. It felt like you could put this on a main event of Monday Night Raw, is the best way to describe it.
And the Riot Squad did really good.
Yeah, I'm going to say every match we saw tonight could have been the main event of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
The way I felt like this match went, it felt like we had a lot of moments where in any normal match, this would be the build up to the finish, but they kept going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did get a lot of spots where typically, yes, this is about where we're set up to go home. And they kept going, and they just kept ramping it up.
Mm-hmm. They kept finding new gears.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was hype for this match, then they definitely would have lived up to it. Unlike all of these matches where we're so excited for it finally happening, and they never live up to all the hype. AJ, Shinsuke.
Here's one other complaint, and this is not about the girls, this is about Michael Cole. Just call it a frog splash. Don't say she's paying tribute to Eddie Guerrero when she hits a frog splash.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
that was the point of the sequence, though.
No, that's fine. But you're just, it's like he's reading the script of it, telling me the finish before she actually gets the pin. You can say it on replay, that was the what it was for.
Like, he's projecting the finish
before
by
happened.
Doing it. By saying it the way he's saying
okay, yeah,
it.
I mean, yeah, that's agreed, yeah.
Yeah, you can say it and you can put Eddie in there without making you realize, okay, this is the finish.
Yeah, say it afterwards, like, what's the difference between, like, typically you just go shades of Eddie Guerrero after she's done it.
Right.
Sasha Banks to the top row, what is it? Frog splash! Shades of Eddie Guerrero! And the 1, 2, 3! You know, do it that way.
Yeah, she could have, but... Well, no, sorry. He could have, but
yeah,
Michael Cole's.
That was good. Yeah, it was a great three-woman team on the play-by-play table tonight.
Absolutely.
Yep. Beth Phoenix with Renee Young and Michael Cole. All three ladies did well. Two of them did all right.
No, you were right the first time.
No. I wasn't changing from three ladies to two ladies. No, two of the three ladies were good.
Good.
Yeah. Michelle Cole wasn't one of them.
There you go. About time you pulled that part out of it, the joke out. All right. Bailey and Sasha and Natty get the win.
Well, it would have been quicker if Mike hadn't interrupted.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not.
By the way, thanks for tuning in to WTR Sunday. We're streaming live on TuneIn Radio. You can get the app. It's free. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Or right here on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Oh, yeah.
Next match.
Woo! The next match I want to see again and again and again. And so on, and so on. Tim, get on with it. Okay, it's the NXT Women's Title match. It's Shayna Baszler challenging Kairi Sane. Oh my goodness gracious.
Shayna Baszler is really good.
Yes.
She has it.
Kairi Sane, I don't know what it is. I just love watching Japanese wrestlers sell, male or female. I don't care what it is, but when they, yeah, it's just like so over the top.
They're beautiful.
It kind of comes out of traditional Japanese acting.
Kabuki theater, yeah, what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same place where Power Rangers gets its acting. So if it looks familiar at any point,
yep. You know who it is.
Yep, absolutely. But props to both these girls. They entertain the loving shit out of me. It's at this point in time. I don't care who wins. Just keep giving me more.
Shayna is the most brutal woman I've ever seen in WWE.
Very brutal.
Yep. And she definitely has a power lifter's upper body build. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but like she's got the broad shoulders I'm trying to think of the adequate words without getting myself in trouble. The upper shoulder, upper arm area.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's a brick shit house up there.
So here's where the match gets interesting. When Sane gets thrown into the crowd on top of all the NXT girls, including Shayna's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Now, this is where my nitpick of the night comes. It's not right when she gets thrown in. It's a couple minutes later.
Yeah.
The horsewomen are getting involved. Maybe a DQ, maybe not. Referee out of position, Tim.
Here's where my nitpick lies, and this is coming from somebody who's booked a lot of matches. The lack of consistency with officiating. And I don't know what it is, because all of it has to be a seamless whole, and it has to flow and feel organic. And the wrestlers do a great job 9 times out of 10. These two women, no exception. The three girls of, the horse women, no exception. Okay, I pointed something out. The ref's looking at her. What the hell? How come this is not being... the match is not being finished by DQ because she's interfering. Oh, well, the ref is walking towards the rope holding up a 2. Didn't see it. No, not that spot. That was the third time it happened. The first time it happened, what's her name's beating on Kairi outside the ring. Perfectly fine. No problem. The ref is busy in the ring with Shayna Baszler. And so Shayna's got her distracted enough, doesn't see it. Back to her. Okay, fine. The spot I'm talking about is when, what's her name? What is her name again?
Which one?
Look up the notes.
Which one are you talking about?
The blonde with the tattoos on her left arm.
The Roderick Strong's wife.
Anyway, she's
Marina.
Up on the apron.
Marina.
Interfering with Kairi Sane, and the ref is staring right at them, pointing and saying, go away, get away. And the thing that bugs me about wrestling in general is you will get one match where they let the shit go, and this happens. And then the next match, exact same shit goes on. Oh, ring the bell. It's interference.
Well, you know.
That's my nitpick. It's got nothing to do with the match. It's got nothing to do with the interference. It's got nothing to do with the work rate or work ethic of either of these two star performers. It's the inconsistency with the writing, and it bugs me. It's a pet fucking peeve.
Oh, if you want to talk inconsistency with a referee's performance, just wait.
Yep.
We'll get there.
Uh-huh. I know where you're going, and I'm going to let you do this one.
But, yeah, them getting into the match, like, you can tell, like, WWE is, like, really eager to fast-track Four Horsewomen matches.
Yep.
Because, like, it's enough. Like, I can't remember which was which, but they had one start training first down in developmental, and apparently she's, like, the fastest they've ever seen someone take to this, starting completely from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone is absolutely amazed with her. And then they start training the other one, and she is picking it up faster.
They're good.
It's like, you imagine, like, this crop of women that we have in the WWE right now. Who's so good. But now we have, like, we see how fast Ronda picked it up, and now her two friends are picking it up really fast. We have the potential to have an even better women's division, you know, just
right now.
Yeah, just a couple years from now.
Yep. Yeah, that's just it. It's only a couple years away. Not 10, not 15, not even 5.
Yeah, they're here. We have them now. It's just a matter of getting them up to speed.
Yeah, they're the future, and the future is now, essentially.
Great use of the NXT catchphrase.
Right.
Actually, I stole that from the movie The Warriors. We're the future. The future's now. Which is where NXT stole it from, too.
But it was a good introduction to finally getting them on the TV product as characters. They helped Shayna win back the NXT Women's Championship.
Which, yeah, I think that did surprise me that that happened.
Also, thank you for putting, like, a scientific wrestling match on this show.
Yes.
Like, she was dead focused on that left arm the entire match. Like, aside from just, like, the folded arm stomp spot. That
perfect
was brutal
ring psychology.
Enough.
Yeah, perfect but ring psychology.
Perfect. Like, okay, and then we did the shoulder snap, which is like the arm break move from Pentagon. And then later in the match, she's got her outside one of the turnbuckles. She climbs up and just hangs her by her left arm. And at that point of the match, it's like the most brutal thing you can imagine her doing.
And that was a great spot. I'm not going to give away how it's done, but yeah, it's fantastic when it is performed. And you don't see it very often at all.
So we go from scientific to brutal.
Oh my God. I've seen men's matches that are no DQ. Tables, ladders, chairs. False count anywhere, street fights that were tamer than what we got with Charlotte versus Becky.
Last woman standing, SmackDown Women's Championship.
Jesus Christ.
This goddamn match should have closed the show.
Yeah, like I said it before, like, okay, here comes your real main event. I wasn't wrong.
I wasn't expecting them to go as far as they did or take it where they were, where they wound up taking it.
No.
Which
I was
is
so,
not a shot.
No, like, I was worried that we were going to get one of the John Cena-style last man standing-style matches.
Where it was like
they tried to overbook it, and they made it, like, a trick that kept them from getting up at the count of 10. Like, oh, you're going to duct tape someone's hands or feet to the turnbuckle. I was like,
We almost got something somewhat similar when Charlotte got buried in the chairs.
Yeah, but they weren't a suspended row of chairs from the ceiling.
Yeah, that too. Just have all the announcers' chairs piled on top of her, and ref gets to 8 before you see the chairs actually start moving, and then she's on her feet by 9.5.
No. She was on her feet at 29.5 because the ref didn't count until Becky was done piling shit up.
Oh, yeah, well, true.
If you go by video game rules, when you throw an object onto somebody, they start the count over again. So the count gets reset every for every chair.
One chair. One chair. One.
ECW. Well,
then what you do is, what you do is, the rev, you talk about Cole telegraphing spots, you count after everything she throws.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. You know the old saying, Tim? If you first don't succeed, you try again.
Oh, that poor table.
Oh. They tried. Gosh. They tried on the moonsault. They tried.
They did. Charlotte was just kind of sort of not in the right spot when she landed.
Table.
No. Well, the table was set too close to the turnbuckle.
Yeah, causing Charlotte to overshoot just the touch.
Charlotte overshoots.
Yep.
Hits the table. Hits Becky with her face. And then Boshmania has the I am the table spot for the night.
Yeah, and that's got to be the worst spot of the entire match, really.
No.
Even then, no. Well, wait a minute. We'll get there.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where he's going.
Yep, me too.
Where?
Well, you'll get
Ladder.
There.
Yep.
Yep. But yeah, try again, you know, and it didn't feel like, oh, well, we screwed this up. Let's just get right back to it. It was like they built back to it, which is one of the things we've complained about previously about things being as so tightly scripted as WWE is anymore. You've got to get this spot. Well, we tried, but it didn't work. So let's do it all over again. They actually worked back to it, which is what a ring veteran will do as opposed to the younger kids following the letter of the script.
Yeah. Not only do they work back to it, she didn't go for the moonsault again. She went for a cannonball.
Yeah. So we'll do it the other way. Yeah, sure. Whatever works.
Get more weight on it and break the table.
Well, it gets more weight on it. More importantly, it's not them being so, like, obvious about, oh, we're just going to do the spot again. Mm-hmm. No, Charlotte, no. It, from an outside perspective, it doesn't look like a screw-up anymore. It looks like, okay, that didn't work. Let me try something else.
Yeah. Breaking news, sports fans, anybody following Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox have won the World Series.
Fuck.
Yeah, anyway.
Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Crap.
Welcome to Bowling for Dollars.
Becky put Charlotte through the announce table off the ladder with a leg drop. That was a good spot with the ladder.
That was a good spot.
The figure eight with the ladder. Good idea. Good idea.
Good idea.
On paper.
Paper.
I'm not sure they practiced that spot because she looked very confused about, wait, how am I supposed to get the other leg? I can't get.
They may have practiced it once. And it
Daddy.
Just, then we had the burial of the chairs after the table ladder spot. Not even chairs. Chairs and tables.
For those not watching, there were like a dozen steel chairs in the ring at one point.
Yeah,
it was all over the place like it's EC fucking W.
It was a chair fight. I'm gonna throw one and just threw them all in the ring. And
then Becky, they just start suplexing each other onto the chairs.
And Becky looked disappointed when she ran out of chairs.
aren't there any more?
No more? What?
It's like, I'm going to do.
Aw.
And, you know, try as you might, maybe you should figure it out that even if you give Becky the opportunity to insult Edge right before the pay-per-view and the fans still don't turn on her, maybe you should take that into consideration with her character.
No.
Yeah. Note to WWE.
Just leave it. Let it be.
Becky. Don't try to make her heel. Not going to work.
It's not very effective.
So
just like don't try to make Roman a baby face. Not going to work.
We'll talk about that. Talk about it in a couple minutes. Finish all the powerbomb.
Talking about the character, not the man.
Powerbomb through the table from the top to the outside. Becky Lynch still... You're a SmackDown Women's Champion.
God, but give it to Charlotte for trying to get up and really selling it.
Props for her to taking that bump. That was brutal. Yeah.
That too.
They went about 30 minutes. Really good match.
Just wow.
Hands down match of the night.
I mean, Matt, you know, this is definitely going to be right up there with match of the year candidate when we do our year end at the, you know, end of the year.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, you know, this is the most excited I've ever been for a Charlotte Flair match.
And then there was your main event.
Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. And you told me that Charlotte and Becky went 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was about 30.
Okay.
It felt longer.
Okay.
How long was it again?
About, I think, 27 was the official number.
Wow.
Not bad.
And then I said to you, does anybody really want to see a Nikki Bella match go anywhere close to 40 minutes?
No.
No. It'll be 10. Yeah, let's hope. You know, like, this is going to be a short pay-per-view. Oh, my.
The match was good when Ronda was on offense.
Yeah. And then defense happened, and then...
Well, it's to be expected when you have the Bella twins out in the ring and one of them's competing, the other one's there for moral support. Of course, she's going to interfere her ass off.
Yeah.
Fans got into it in the building. They believe the couple finished the false finishes at the end with the rack attack and the spine buster or the Alabama slam. They bought into the finishes. They bought into the match. They bought into everything. So on paper, it was the good main event. Sent the crowd home happy. Ronda got the win.
I'm not going to complain about the match because there's really nothing to complain about. It's a Ronda Rousey match. It's a Nikki Bella match. It was a better Ronda Rousey match than it was a Nikki Bella match, but that's because it's Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. If it wasn't for Charlotte Becky, I wouldn't have been so feeling let down by this match. And I'm only feeling let down because it was pedestrian in comparison.
Pedestrian?
Yes. Look it up, Mike.
No. I know what you meant.
Okay, there you go. This was a bit of a pedestrian match after Charlotte and Becky. I mean, then again, every other match on this goddamn card, you probably could say that it was pedestrian after Becky and Charlotte. Oh, Lord. But I would have been more receptive to the match had it not been the main event.
Yeah.
I think thematically it has to be the main event because this is the demonstration between like the transition between the quintessential diva versus the quintessential female wrestler.
No.
Yeah.
Also had the most media attention coming out of it as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that's the key. I mean, again, for us, you could say Becky and Charlotte was the main event, but for the casual, you have Nikki.
Thanks for making the point that I was working towards.
Nikki and Ronda.
So yeah.
It's the casual.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you have it's essentially like, you know, when we have a Hogan main event, but what you and I as wrestling fans were talking about was Savage Steamboat.
Savage Steamboat stealing the show, but the main event, the one that everybody bought their ticket for, still Hogan versus Andre.
So Ronda's still your champion?
She is.
Looks like Nia Jax is going to be the next contender at Survivor Series.
Yes, she will be.
And you go from there.
And there we go.
And, you know, goddamn, this pay-per-view was better than Crown Jewel's going to be.
We're going to get there. We're going to get the Crown Jewel. Rundown.
This show didn't put the 50-year-old people from the match in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the second match of the show.
Wait a minute. Not quite this.
Run down the pick'em results, Tim.
Yeah, congratulations, Heartbreak Mike.
Yeah.
you went 6-1. You tied with Sheila. Sheila went 6-1. So, you and Sheila, you're like, strange bedfellows.
Which one did I get wrong?
You both get to split an imaginary cookie.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I'm trying to
remember. Chocolate chip oatmeal Oreo.
I don't know. I'll tell you in a second as the thing opened up. Keep running down the list.
Chocolate chip.
No. It's one cookie. It's a chocolate chip oatmeal peanut butter Oreo.
Don't know how I feel. Ooh, Oreo.
Okay. Imagine Oreo cookies with a peanut butter filling instead of the cream filling.
Yum.
And then imagine them made out of oatmeal and having chocolate chips in them.
Okay.
I was going to say they did peanut butter Oreos before.
Yep, they did. Mike. They're not as good as pirate cookies.
Anyway, Mike, you had Kari Sane.
Crap.
Now you're doing it.
Okay.
Anyway, keep running on the list, Tim.
Tied in third place. This is where everybody wound up was Chris P., Linz, Michael, Rob, Rock, Tommy C., 5-2. And this is where I'm pissed off. Random thing picker wound up in ninth place at 4-3.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In 10th place, Omega and Jenny Jenna tied at 3-4. And in 12th place, I can't believe I tied with Subway. The good news is I beat the 8 ball, 14th place, and then Quinn only picked one and got it wrong.
You only beat the 8 ball because I wasn't doing the battle royal with the 8 ball.
There you go. Yeah, that would have been tricky. Now, here's the thing. I'm not disappointed being in 12th spot because that says to me, this pay-per-view was off the hook, unpredictable enough, it should have been entertaining. It was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not disappointed, because I can't win the prize anyway if there was a prize if I did win.
But you tied with somebody.
If we had chips, we could have chips and dip. If we had dip.
But no, like thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely fantastic.
It was.
I'm going to tell you right now, we have the show on this network called The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, hosted by Lindsay Ward. Well, and whatever we thought about this show, there is a level we will never be able to appreciate it on the way she could.
Yep.
So that's what you need to hear.
Yep.
Make sure you tune in at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern this Thursday night at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Please, just listen to The Rack.
Yeah. Trust us.
This week especially.
Yeah.
Hey, it's won multiple awards multiple times.
Exactly. So, now, we have two elephants in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Which do we want to touch first?
Well, let's leave the big bombshell till the last, because it's like the big bombshell.
Okay. So, this Friday, on the WWE Network.
Wow.
Is WWE Crown Jewel.
And they're still going with it.
Yeah.
At one point in time, it was very close to having been moved.
I mean, it could have gone to Albany, New York. I mean.
Well, that depends on whether or not you believe the Scoops guy on Twitter, who has gotten absolutely every fucking breaking news and scoop wrong that he has ever posted.
And that people thought he was actually truthful with 13 followers. Anyway, let's get into this paper. The amount of people that were actually digging into his story. He has like 13 followers. Like, okay. So, Crown Jewel.
But he has his sources. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know.
No, he doesn't.
No. So, Crown Jewel. Gonna happen, whether you like it or not. In Saudi Arabia. And just for the record, so you all know out there, you all just supported the pay-per-view by watching Evolution. Thank you for your money.
Those of you who have bitched and complained about them going through with it and you still watched Evolution, you paid for Crown Jewel. Just, let that sink in.
And when you watch Raw tomorrow, you're supporting Crown Jewel. Yeah. Just keep realizing this in your head.
There are people who don't know what you're talking about, Rock. You do realize that.
And I'm not going to go any further, because we're going to have the Bar defend their tag team titles against the New Day. Oh, my God.
Hey, Bar and New Day. Like, I don't expect anything else out of this match besides Bar and New Day. And I will say, skip it to the Bar.
Mike.
The Bar. I give you the Bar.
Tim.
Why would you give somebody a title just to take it off of them like less than a month later?
Because that's WWE booking.
And Vince has a hard on for the New Day.
It happened with Charlotte. I mean.
Happened Charlotte Sasha.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You wonder why Charlotte got up to if she wins, it'll be 8 times.
And then Charlotte Becky.
How 4 of those were in the same, 3-month span.
Yeah. So you could see the title changing hands and the New Day getting it back at Crown Jewel. And this is going to sound somewhat racist and bigoted and biased. Not on my part, but expect the New Day to regain their titles. Only because of where the pay-per-view is going to be. I'm picking New Day.
Okay. Currently scheduled for the WWE Championship, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, my God. Currently scheduled.
Currently scheduled.
What currently if Daniel Bryan refuses to go?
Okay, now, is that the same source who said they were frantically trying to reschedule it for
Albany, New York?
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is actually a legitimate, verified rumor.
No, okay. Omega, this was the one that said Roman was injured.
Yeah. It's a legitimate, verified rumor.
That one.
Okay. Do you understand the keyword? Rumor.
50% right.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, yeah, Roman's kind of injured. We'll get there.
Mike, who you got?
Damn.
AJ.
Omega.
AJ's had it for so long.
And he's
going to... He's on the fucking cover of the game still.
Mm-hmm.
AJ. I don't want to, but I have to.
Tim.
Yeah, I'm calling for The Miz to cost Daniel Bryan the title, which means AJ retains.
D-Generation X versus the Brothers of Destruction. Tim.
Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement. You would think that the way that they book these types of matches, okay, Triple H won in Australia, so it's got to go to the Brothers of Destruction. No, it's going to be DX.
Omega.
They're not going to pull Shawn out of retirement just to have him job. It's going to be DX.
Shawn Michaels is going to be getting some sick money with a few guarantees. DX is going to win because this will not be Shawn's last match.
Mike.
The hospital due to injured hips. No.
Broken hips.
Well, they already got Undertaker's money.
Is it brand new?
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But you still got Kane.
Kane's fine.
Kane's a mayor. He doesn't need hips.
Right. He has a black.
Yeah, suit. Politicians are pretty boneless, aren't they?
Yep.
I was going to say spineless, but that wasn't your hips.
Yeah.
Right, who you got?
But they are still spineless because they're politicians.
Shawn Michaels, welcome back. DJ.
Okay, Tim.
All right, so he picked the X. All right. Now, because we don't have a bracket, we're just going to ask who's going to win the World Cup. Your nominees or choices are Rey Mysterio, The Miz, Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins, Kurt Angle, and maybe John Cena. Omega.
I'm going with Kurt simply because this is the Saudi family who thought Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage were still wrestling, so.
I mean, they need a replacement for Cena, and brother says brother is going to be over there.
No.
I mean, brother says he's looking forward to going over, brother.
There's a hint.
Brother.
Think about it.
No, I'm not going to think about it. I refuse to think about it.
What you going to do,
Hulk
brother?
Hogan will be at Crown Jewel, kids.
Or at least in Saudi.
He's just going to visit.
He may shake some hands, kiss some babies. Who knows? So Kurt.
Oh, no, he's not allowed to do that. They're Muslims there.
Mike, who you got?
Kurt.
Tim, who you got?
You know, this is going to boil down to one hell of an epic battle, ultimately between Ray and Kurt. And Kurt's not going to be able to beat Ray again and feel like he got beat by an 8-year-old. I'm picking Ray.
And finally, for the now vacated WWE Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman.
Woohoo!
Tim.
Yeah, come get these hands.
Mike.
I'm gonna go with Braun Strowman so that the feud with Drew and Braun can happen.
Omega.
Well, since only one of these guys is under full contract right now, it's going to be Braun.
We say that every time, and then
it winds up being the other guys.
Now, that's Crown Jewel. We'll have the full recap next Sunday. So the title's been vacated.
Yeah, it has.
Why, Tim?
Well, there's a guy whose name is Joe, and Joe's been battling leukemia for, 9 years now? 11 years. Well, goddamn things flared up. Now, like, you can think what you want about the character Roman Reigns. The character and the performer are two separate entities. If you hate Roman Reigns and you're sick and tired of Roman Reigns, fine. That's perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
He's played by a guy named Joe Anoa'i.
Anoa'i.
Yeah, that's it. I can never pronounce it properly, but I don't know. Anoa'i. See what I'm saying? Anyway, yes, he is directly related to Afa and Sika and, you know, all those other guys. He is, related to The Rock as well. And by extension, Nia Jax. Joe is a nice kid. He's a nice guy. He really is. He really is.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had to relinquish the title on Monday Night Raw, come out and be himself and not his character to tell people, my name's Joe, and I've been battling leukemia for 11 years, and it's come back. Well, that really shut everybody up really quickly on Monday night, didn't it? The boost just totally became non-existent. Everybody wound up behind the guy, supporting him, which, yeah, great. That's fantastic. And kudos to everybody who didn't continue with the booing and the, you suck chants and shit like that.
Yeah.
There were still one or two, which is like, fuck you, idiots.
It's what happens. Like, online, like, yes, I was seeing this outpouring of support, but unfortunately, I saw people who were somehow taking joy in this.
Yep.
Like, because they hate Roman Reigns so much. It's like, oh, thank God he's got rid of the title. What, you care more about a fucking prop? The man has a wife and kids who may have to do without their father, and you are complaining. You are happy because he has to let go of a prop. Like, I don't care what you think about the man. I don't care what you think about the pro wrestler himself. You know, I've had plenty to say negatively against Roman Reigns, and I can't take any of that back because I'm going to be a hypocrite.
Yeah, you're talking about the character, not the pro wrestler, but the character.
No. Understand me.
Yes.
When things like this happen, like when Paige or Edge has to, you know, come out and say, okay, we have to stop because, you know, our neck is injured and we can't perform anymore. Like, you look back at all the great moments and all this, that, you know, but, you know, people just like suspect, you know, people think all the time, it's like you garner sympathy from doing that, and like people start thinking of you better. It's like if Dana Brooke comes out on Raw tomorrow and says that she has to retire because like she has an injury or something that keeps her from performing, I'm not going to go back and say like what a great performer or worker she was, because I've always been very critical of her. Yeah. You know, and I have been critical of Roman Reigns as a wrestling performer. I think his moveset is limited, you know, and I think he failed to connect to fans. But here's the thing. Typically, like, you can't go back with, like, Dana and say, I liked her the whole time because nothing's really changed. With this, you know, Roman Reigns, like, Joe Anoa'i, that entire time, had leukemia. Like, that's not something that goes away. When they say remission, that is not cured. So now I do have to go back and realize what he was doing and how hard he was working and everything he was capable of while having that illness.
Lying dormant within his bones. Like leukemia, yeah. That's bone cancer.
It's a blood cancer.
Well, it's a blood cancer. The blood is made inside your bones. It's right. So
yeah.
Bone marrow transplants are successful in some cases. They're very, very painful, and it's a very long, arduous process for the cure to take place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last time Roman Reigns had to do this, he was still playing football and someone lined up the dates. He left his original team because of a serious illness that was undisclosed at the time, but it was 11 years ago. So the time frame matches up. So we know when it was now, and it took him 11 months before he was picked up by another team.
Yep.
So now we know the rough recovery time. Now, the thing with cancer that goes into remission, when it comes back, it's generally because it's fought off whatever your body managed to do to put it into remission, which means it comes back stronger. Yep. So now he has an uphill battle ahead of him.
More resistant.
The point I was trying to get at is, like, I've been critical of the man just like these playing, but, you know, I look back and respect everything he did and everything he was doing, even while battling this ailment.
Right.
And there's no part of me that takes joy in this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. This is horrifying. I sat there like the most shocked I've ever been watching a Monday Night Raw in my life. And the fact that there was just people I see online that were just so happy about this. It's like,
made me sick.
That's fucking demented. You take joy in the fact that his children may lose their father, that he's going through this? Fuck you. That is absolutely disgusting, and you need to shut your fucking mouth because you do not deserve the air you are breathing. No. And the day you stop breathing it, there is a special place in hell for you.
Mm.
People are fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Now, Mike might be a little bit surprised by your reaction to this, but because I've known you for as long as I have, and you and I have a tendency to get into each other's heads sometimes, this does not shock me one bit.
I'm not surprised.
Because we're on the exact same page here. I can absolutely hate a character and love the guy who plays that character. And right. This is exactly what it is with Roman Reigns and Joe, please help me.
Anoa'i,
yeah. This is exactly what it is. But, you know, having worked in the business, professional wrestlers, I love all of them for doing what they do to entertain us. And, yeah, I get it. You're the bad guy. I'm supposed to boo you. Thank you for doing everything you do so well to make me hate your character so much. But there is not one single performer that I absolutely cannot stand just because of their character. And it's like watching, you know, it's like watching Star Trek. Yeah, I'm going back to Star Trek. You know what? Forget it. It's like watching the TV show SWAT and hating that bad Hispanic guy who's given Hondo a hard time, but loving the actor because he's doing such a good job playing that really bad Hispanic guy. Hmm. And I only did that because that was the episode of SWAT that I watched recently.
No, you're fine.
separate reality from fantasy. Professional wrestling is just like your favorite TV show. It's fantasy. These people are playing a character. Don't attack the person.
Exactly.
Attack the character, but don't be thankful or happy or glad that this guy is in danger of death because you hate that character that much. That's sick.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely got to thinking about it, and like, this is one of the more horrifying things I've witnessed.
Yep.
On a pro wrestling show, because it's not like someone coming out on a retirement like an Edge or a Paige and saying, okay, we can't wrestle anymore, and we get to look back at the fond memories and be happy that they get to move on with their lives. And it's not like an Eddie Guerrero where it's incredibly tragic that we lost him well before his time, at the very least, whatever he was going through that led to that, to his death, and whatever suffering he was going through is over now, and there's no wandering. With Roman, there is always going to be a wander until we know one way or another. Has he beaten it, or is it terminal?
Yeah.
You know, we're left in a holding pattern where this is tragic, and you know, you feel terrible for him, and you fear for him as a human being, and we have no idea how it's going to turn out, which makes this even scarier.
Yeah, absolutely the truth. I don't want to be the one to speak for everybody else, put words in everybody else's mouth. But I know that you guys are all with me when I am praying, and this is weird for me to say because I'm an atheist, but I'm praying for Joe, and I am wishing and hoping for nothing but the best. And I just really hope that all the news that we wind up getting is good. And I'm hoping and praying that this is beat down very quickly. If he can never come back and wrestle ever again, that's fine. I can live with that. That's, you know, not an issue. As long as he survives and his wife doesn't lose a husband and his kids don't lose a father. My desire is for him to beat this. And, I do believe that, you guys are all behind me and backing me on this and, letting me speak for you.
No, absolutely.
So I don't know, if Joe will ever hear this, but hey, brother, we love you, man. Get better quick.
And with that, that's our show.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show with Mr. Rockin'.
Yeah, we'll be live, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, to recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. Hopefully it won't be as noteworthy as last week. Let's check out Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, you laughed when I told you this, but I'm going to say it out loud. My son now has Fortnite.
One of us.
Rock, he plays online too.
One of us.
Well, that's the only... Yeah, I got Fortnite, Dad. And I went, oh my god.
You can only play online. That's how the game works.
There you go, yeah.
Fortnite with friends, finally the Rock, and usually on Saturday nights as well.
Speaking about the Rock, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Tune in, everybody. We just watched history tonight. WWE Evolution. You want to listen to Lindsay Ward. She's going to have a hell of a lot to say about it.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Not Wednesday. I don't know what will be on air on Wednesday. But Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern is another edition.
Did I say Wednesday? I'm pretty sure I didn't.
You said Wednesday.
Well, I'm busy Wednesday. I can't help you.
So The Rock Live, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview the Crown Jewel show. We'll talk all things Evolution, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rock Radio Show on all favorite social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can get the show on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Podcast, and beyond. It's The Rock Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and of course, Saturday night, midnight issue. As close as I can get to it, another edition of the Wild Wack of the Unusual. The group of people who don't believe in windmills. CB Radio.
What is the greatest country song of all time? We'll figure it out this Saturday night, midnight-ish, on the Greater Than Great Debate. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we talked all things horror video games and where some video games lied.
Video games lie?
Lied in terms of placement.
Oh, there you go. I get it.
I mean,
and of course, next Sunday night, back at our regular time.
Hold on.
What?
It's CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, CBRadioLive.com. Now you can go.
Now we'll be back at a regular time next Sunday night to talk Crown Jewel and what happened on Saturday, early Saturday morning at Crown Jewel. 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Check out the Facebook pages, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, Russ Talk Radio. Follow on Twitter at, WTR Sunday Night, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Follow me on Twitter. In two different regions, two different IDs, two different handles, whatever you want to call it. My safer one is at Flames Forums. The more controversial one, the one that will hook you up with all the political, controversial, et cetera, at Voice Insanity. And feel free to check out piecesofmymind.cf. for my personal political blog. Omega, you're not very political.
No. I keep it nice and PG. Come to me when you want to get away from the political malarkey. If you want to do that, you can do it on Facebook over at TJ Reviews. If you want to do it anywhere else, you can go to TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with a ton of content on it. And for some additional content, you can go to TJOmega.net.
Woohoo. And for those that want to talk to the black guy, go to the WTR Oreo on the Twitter page. I'm doing a thing on Facebook. It is Dragon Honor Wrestling. And there will be an announcement this week regarding another program in development, so stay tuned for that. This week, I'm actually going to do something on Twitter. Thanks, Rock. We'll see. It'll start tomorrow. Uh-huh. This was a good show, so add me. Shout out to Morty. Aha. Back to you.
Yeah, that's it, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.